Please be taking your Bibles and opening to the book of Matthew. Our reading is from Matthew chapter 9 this evening. And we're going to be starting with verse 35. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35. Says, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Amen.
Good evening. It's a great blessing and privilege to be with you again tonight. Thank you for the opportunity to share from the Word of God. Again, please turn with me to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. We'll also have a time after the evening message if you have some questions about the work there in Papua New Guinea or the Bible College or Bible Clubs or the church plant. If you have some questions afterwards, we'll take some time for that. Or maybe you have some questions for Leandra as well. We'll give a chance for that. But this morning, out of Hebrews chapter 6, I focused a little bit on the church plant, a case of sorrow, some of the things the Lord had done. Tonight, focusing on Matthew chapter 9, I want to focus on the need for laborers and focus a little bit on the Bible College and the Bible Clubs, the RI ministry, what the Lord is doing there. So let's begin in a word of prayer, and then we'll read in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the privilege and blessing and honor of being with your people again tonight. Lord, thank you for their sacrifice, their generosity, their partnership in the gospel, Lord. It's a privilege, a blessing, and honor to serve you together, Lord, as partners in Christ, as co-laborers. I pray tonight, Lord, as we look at the great need for laborers around the world, but especially in Papua New Guinea, Lord, that you would touch our hearts anew and afresh, Lord, that we would be ambassadors for you, recruiting others, Lord, to serve in the great harvest field around the world. Lord, use me for your honor and for your glory. Use me as a vessel. Help me to be clean that you can flow through. Lord, we love you and trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord Jesus Christ says in verse 36, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Just want to focus on the word compassion there for a moment. Compassion. You know, we honestly didn't have anything to offer the Lord, but out of compassion, he sent the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. You know, for the people there in Papua New Guinea, they don't have a lot of the blessings, they don't have a lot of the privileges, they don't have a lot of the resources that we have. But there's something that God puts within our hearts that's compassion. As you see someone, the Lord can touch your heart with compassion. You know, as the Lord saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. What we see with our eyes affects our heart. As we see the multitudes, as we see the people that don't have the Lord, they don't have the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, it affects our hearts. Turn with me to a similar verse, Mark chapter 6 and verse 34. Mark chapter 6 and verse 34. And Jesus, as he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion towards them because they were a sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. So you think about the many people in Papua New Guinea. There's about 2 million school-age children in Papua New Guinea. Many of them aren't saved. Many of them, their generations have gone before, have gone into a Christless eternity, and many of them are facing that same eternal destiny. But as you think about that, it's just a number, 2 million school-age children, hard to get your mind around it. But those are individual faces. Those are individual children. Those are individuals that need Christ in their hearts and in their lives. Just last year, we were about 2,000 children in the Bible clubs a week. Now we're up to 4,000. The Lord's blessed. We're in 11 schools now each and every week. So we're getting really close to our goal of 5,000. Within that, we've got several schools that are requesting for us to start They have four terms, so it'd be their third term. They're asking us to start one school in particular. Kategu was originally a Lutheran school and started by the Lutherans, but then taken over by the government. We had tried actually earlier this year to get in to do RI. They said because it's a Lutheran school, they said we'll do the RI ourselves. So we said, you know, okay. And of course, they didn't do it. And so they came back. They actually said they apologized. They asked our forgiveness and said, would you please come in? They said, we said the wrong thing. They said we need the Word of God in our school. But to go to more schools, to go to number 12, number 13 is Kalofalo, a school. They had some serious fighting in the school that they've resumed. They have also requested to come. But to be able to go, as Josh just prayed earlier, we need vehicles, we need more laborers. The harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. As you look again at Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and they were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. I think of a young man, his name was Eden. He was at Sagiri Primary School, so he had been trying last year to get into that school. And just the beginning of this year, first term number one, we were able to get into Sagiri. And pretty good sized school, not one of the largest, but I would say about 600. It's hard to know the numbers, but probably about 600 children in that school. And I was teaching the eighth graders every week. There's A and B, so there's probably about 80 to 90 eighth grade students. And teaching the eighth grade students, and there's one particular boy, very disruptive. Most of the students are very attentive. Most of them are very good. And this guy was off the charts disruptive. I mean, talking the entire time, doing everything he could to distract himself, distract other students. At first, I thought he was doing it intentionally. And then about halfway through, I thought maybe he wasn't all there. And then towards the end, I asked some of the other students, I said, what is going on with that guy? And they said, we don't know. Yeah, I'm pretty sure they knew, but they didn't want to tell me the truth. So I talked to him after the RI lesson. I just tried to get to know him a little bit and just try to befriend him. Somebody that needed somebody to have a heart of compassion, to have a heart of love. And just spent a little time with him, talking with him. Next week, I don't think he was there the next week. Week after that, he was there much quieter, much better behaved. So he continued to hear the gospel for several weeks. Then that particular week, probably was probably 4 or 5 weeks later, I had to shift a couple of teachers around, one from Sagiri. I wanted to shift to Safa. Certain teachers work good with some kids. Certain teachers don't work good with certain kids. So I shifted some teachers around. I wasn't at Sagiri that week, so I sent another teacher, Max, to take that my place. And I went to Safa as I was trying to move some teachers around. Afterwards, after the RI lesson, Max brought a number of papers back with salvation decisions, and he left them on my table and said, you know, go through them when you get a chance. I was reading through the different names, and who do you think was one of the names on the card? Eden. What did he need? He needed a heart of compassion. Somebody to care about his soul, somebody to care for him. The Lord Jesus Christ cared about us. There was no reason he should have died on the cross of Calvary for us. We didn't have anything good to offer him, but he had compassion on us. So we think about the 2 million school-age children in Papua New Guinea, they need somebody to have compassion on them. Some of them are easy to love, some of them are easy to care about, others, like Eden, are more difficult. But they're all somebody that needs Christ, that needs the power of the gospel to change their lives. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. You know, for the guys when they were there, I'm sure they saw it. But some of the schools you go, you'll have 10, 20 kids just run up to you immediately, just hungry. They want someone to care for them, someone to love them. There's many, many families in Papua New Guinea, as I mentioned this morning, don't have mothers, don't have fathers. Many children are just passed from one person to another person. Don't know where their next meal will come from, don't have someone for them to care. But as we share the Word of God in the schools, that gives them a message of hope, a message of light. Somebody that loves them, somebody that cares for them, a Heavenly Father. So the first thing we see tonight is we need to be moved with compassion. We need to be moved with compassion. We need to have God's love for those that need the gospel. Second thing I want us to see in verse 37. It says, and he said unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. It's no different. It's all around the world, the laborers are few. There are few pastors, there's few laborers, there's few Sunday school teachers, few evangelists. The Lord's work needs laborers. What does the Lord Jesus tell us to do? He tells us to pray. Pray for laborers. That's something all of us can do. That's something all of us can pray for is laborers. Some of us will go, some of us will stay, some of us will pray, some of us will give, but we can all pray for laborers. It's one that there's a number of things in the New Testament that God has commanded us to pray for, but one of them is laborers. God's commanded us to pray for laborers. God's commanded us to pray for the persecuted church. He's commanded us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. He's commanded us to pray for those that are in authority. Well, one of those things he's commanded us to pray for is laborers. Turn with me to the well-known verse and in Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 19 and 20, the Great Commission. The Lord says in verse number 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things, and whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. As we labor, as we serve Christ, we're not doing it alone because we have the promise of his presence. The Lord Jesus is with us. If you back up to verse 8, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. We're not able to break the spiritual darkness in Papua New Guinea, but Christ has the power, and he's promised to be with us. But as we pray for laborers, sometimes God sends laborers, but sometimes God also changes our hearts. Sometimes God, as we pray for laborers, sometimes God calls us. Sometimes God works in our hearts, in our lives. Some of you might know the story of how the RI ministry started there for us. Some of you might not. It was actually there at Jericho where we started the church plant with Seiko, as I mentioned this morning. We were a couple years into it there, and on a Wednesday night prayer meeting, one of the young girls, her name is Jira, she raised her hand and said she had a prayer request. So we asked her what her prayer request was. She said, my prayer request is that someone would come to my public school and teach the Bible in the public school. And I knew the laws, I knew the religious instruction laws, I knew it was open, but we weren't doing it at that point. But when she raised her hand, it was a wake-up call. And of course, she asked prayer for it, and we began to pray. But through that, who did the Lord change? Me. The Lord began to work on my heart and life. The Lord changed me, and that was how the RI ministry got started. We started first at her school. We started there at Safa. Then we next went to the high school where her older sister was at. But through that, the RI ministry was started, through a prayer request on a Wednesday night. And the Lord truly does hear and answer prayer. Sometimes as we pray for laborers, the Lord might change our heart. The Lord might use us. He said unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. God wants us to pray for laborers. At this time, as we serve the Lord in Papua New Guinea, we live in a time that's different than many generations before in missions. Used to be, when you went overseas for missions, you were gone for who knows how many years. You might hear from your family, you might not. You might get a letter, you might not. You'd be on a boat for a very long time to get to whatever country you were going to. But we have many blessings in missions today with modern technology. We have the ability to make a phone call halfway around the world and talk to somebody. We have the ability to get an email if the internet works almost instantly, which the internet doesn't always work, but usually it does. But there's many advantages because of modern technology. With modern technology, we can do things with the Bible clubs, otherwise wouldn't be possible. Even the printing of the curriculum, as Pastor Rebellier prayed this morning for the printing of the curriculum, our goal was to reach 5,000 children in a week. So as I mentioned, we're right about 4,000 right now. But Lord has also opened another door to try to get the government to accept the curriculum and put it in all the public schools in Papua New Guinea. And so the curriculum's actually been completed. We have the 4th through 12th grade curriculum is completed. We use the same curriculum for 1st through 3rd grade. So we have the fall all the way through grade 1 to grade 12, the curriculum's completed. It's been presented to the government. They're aware of it. How fast it'll be approved or how slow, only the Lord knows. But we've presented the curriculum, but as we are presenting it, we present it on the local level in Ungay Bene. We also presented it on the national level. But both of them asked the same question. They said, if we accept the curriculum, can you provide curriculum for the country? Can you actually do that? And some of you might remember a couple months ago, we put a request out in our prayer letter to pray for that. We were trying to print 500 sets of curriculum. So what we were trying to print. We got quotes back to print 500 sets of curriculum. It was $70,000 to get it printed. And that kind of put a real damper on things. And so we kept praying. We got in. There was another person that put us in touch with a printing company in Ireland. And as we prayed, I was talking to him on the phone. We had a conference call. And he asked, tell me what you want to do. So we went through all the curriculum. And then he asked the important question, how many sets of curriculum do you want? And I said, 500. And he said, oh, he said, we couldn't do that. He said, if we were to print 500 sets of curriculum, he says, a lot of my cost is setup costs and all those things. He said, there's no way we could do that. So it's 500 sets of illustrations. There's illustrations, about 4 illustrations for every lesson, the teacher's guide. So it's a pretty big amount of material we're trying to get printed. But then he goes, but I could print 5,000 if you could use them. And just amazing how the Lord works and leads and guides and directs. So then I said, so you said you could print how many if we could use them? He said 5,000 I could print. That's almost, from what I understand, that's almost a 40-foot container worth of curriculum. And just amazing how the Lord's leading and guiding. So please be in prayer about that. It's not official yet. It's not completed. We're trying to get the files to them for the final proof copies and get everything approved. But if the Lord provides that, we can go back to the government and say, yes, we can provide the curriculum if you're willing to approve it. And what that would open the door for, the curriculum will go into the government schools, but a lot of local pastors, the Bible school has 400 graduates out across Papua New Guinea. A lot of the graduates would be trained to use the curriculum. Some of the teachers in the public schools would also be trained, but we would have to do teacher training across the country of Papua New Guinea. And hopefully even some of the, it doesn't mean all the teachers in the public schools would be teaching the curriculum, but probably all of the teachers would go through the training. So what a marvelous opportunity it would be to share the gospel with them. So it hasn't happened yet, but please, the Lord says, pray for laborers. Pray for that the RI curriculum might be able to go through the country. We might be able to reach 2 million school-age children with the gospel. It's a marvelous opportunity. So the first thing we saw is we need to be moved with compassion. The second thing we see is the harvest is plenteous. The harvest is plentiful. There's many, many, many. We're just talking about Papua New Guinea, but there's the world that needs the gospel. We don't know how soon the Lord Jesus Christ will return. We need to do everything we can today, now. Okay, look at me now at verse number 38. It says, pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. As we pray for laborers, we want people that have a heart for God. They love God. They love his word. Someone has the right heart for God, you can always train them for the skill. But if they don't have a heart for God, they're not going to be able to serve the Lord effectively. You think about in the Old Testament, the first king of Israel, Saul departed from the Lord. He was replaced by David. And as Samuel went, he was looking at the sons of Jesse. He thought Eliab would be the Lord's anointed. And the Lord said, no, he says, and I haven't chose Eliab. He said, the Lord said, he doesn't look on man's outward appearance, but he looks where? At the heart. God is concerned about our heart, our relationship with him, our love for him. When our heart is right with God, God is able to use us for his honor and for his glory. As we pray for laborers, we need to pray for those who have a heart to love God and serve God. Serving God sometimes is easy, sometimes it's very hard. There's some days on the mission field, there's great days of victory, great days of blessing. There's some days on the mission field, there are days of great trial and great hardship. But through them, as we read in Matthew chapter 28, you have God's presence and God's faithfulness. The Lord is faithful in our lives. As we think about the importance of the heart, turn quickly to the book of Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6, as you have the apostles ministering, as you have the apostles serving there in the Jerusalem church, there was an issue as they were preaching, as they were sharing, as they were praying. There was an issue where there wasn't enough laborers, there wasn't enough people to serve. The Grecian widows were murmuring against the Hebrew widows because they didn't feel like their needs were being met. The apostles said they didn't have enough strength, they didn't have enough resources to continue the preaching ministry and as well as minister to tables. But it says in verse 3, it says, "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you, seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost, wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." As you pray for laborers, pray for people that have an honest report, full of the Holy Ghost, wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. It's not just, should I say, warm bodies in the Lord's work, but you need people that have a heart for ministry, a heart of compassion, that love others and love God and love His Word. As we have a heart for God, a heart for His ministry, as we pray for laborers, that likewise, the Lord is able to equip, the Lord is able to train, the Lord is able to give the skill necessary. So we look at verse 38, it says, "Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest, that He would send forth laborers into His harvest." As I think about serving the Lord today in 2023, there's many opportunities for service that previously weren't available. I was speaking with Pastor Jan today about the possibility at the Bible College of some classes being taught online, about a teacher overseas possibly being able to teach online at the Bible College, so it would be live. We'd probably have one or two recorded lectures for when our internet goes down, but it would be a live teacher teaching the students. Years before, we wouldn't even have talked about that. Probably even before COVID, it wouldn't have even been discussed. But today, because of modern technology, it's a great possibility to have teachers that are even overseas investing in the lives of the students there in Papua New Guinea, equipping them, training them, ready to send them out. Pastor Revillier is giving thumbs up. But there's possibilities today that would have been impossible before. Even just like when Tim and Jono and Josh came over for the missions trip to help building the missions house and finishing that, years before, a short trip like that probably wouldn't have been possible. As we build the clinic, we need the same kind of thing. We need people that are skilled people that can come over, help with the building, the construction. I'm sure the guys have seen it, but we have the large master plan of expansion there for the Bible College. There's many, many projects. The clinic is the first right now of many, many other projects to go on. So it doesn't necessarily mean, as we pray for laborers, it doesn't mean that it's someone that would be there full-time, 24/7, 52 weeks out of the year, but it could be making short-term trips. It could be serving in different ways. It could be, just as the church is doing a lot of different things, packing the pallets, sending supplies over. Those are labor serving, making a huge difference in the hearts and lives of people there in Papua New Guinea. As we see in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, "But when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith He unto His disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that He will send forth laborers into His harvest." As you think about that, as you pray for laborers, there's one last thing before I finish I want to add about praying for laborers. Also, pray for those laborers that are in Papua New Guinea that they would be faithful, that they would stay faithful to the Lord. Turn back just quickly to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, another well-known portion of Scripture. You have the Lord's Prayer, Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. It says, "After this manner pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil." You know, as you pray for laborers, pray for us, pray for others to be faithful to God, to stand strong, to be delivered from evil, not to fall into temptation. I believe the guys might remember a young man by the name of Wilbert. faithful servant of the Lord. He was actually, there was two young men. One was not the Max I mentioned earlier, but a different Max. And then Wilbert, they were two of my key guys for the Bible clubs, for the RI ministry, and then also was starting the sports outreach at the church. And as I worked with Wilbert over the years, he also came from a very difficult situation. His father died when he was just a baby, so he doesn't remember his father. He only has one picture of his father, which he saved. He was raised by his mother, but he got saved as a young man, grew up in the church, came to Bible school, faithfully serving the Lord, faithfully serving with us there in the ministry. But I sensed that Wilbert wasn't being, I sensed something was wrong in his life. I couldn't figure out what it was, but he just wasn't acting the same way he used to always act. So I gave him a number of scripture verses to read. I then had him start reading through the book of Proverbs and continue to talk to him. I knew some things weren't right. He stopped preaching, stopped teaching. He would have continued, but I just didn't have peace about it. So I continued to work with him, just counseling him many, many times. Just a couple, I guess it was just about 2 weeks ago, it came out he had fallen into immorality with a girl. He didn't tell me, but right through God's mercy, right about the same time that it happened was the time I had asked him, you know, step down from preaching, and counseled with him, spent hours and hours counseling with him. You know, very hard for him to confess what had happened. Well, you think about that, so unfaithful, a labor. The Lord used Wilbert in incredible ways there in Papua New Guinea, but a labor that has fallen into temptation. There's no Christian that's above temptation, but we need to pray for the laborers in Papua New Guinea to be what? Faithful, to stand strong, to be delivered from temptation, to be delivered from the evil. And I truly believe Wilbert said, I truly believe God used him in a marvelous way, but he has honestly fallen into sin. He's back with his home pastor now. Today was actually his first Sunday with his pastor. So I sent him a text message last night. I had actually called him right before we flew out of Port Moresby yesterday, trying to encourage him. He wants to still serve the Lord, but he has the consequences of his sin now. He has the consequences of what's happened to him in life. He's trying to get his relationship with God. But he said to me, he said something really interesting. He said, Tim, he said, I have something really difficult to do now. He said, I have to rebuild my testimony. He said, my testimony is destroyed. And as you pray for laborers, pray for the people that are serving God there in Papua New Guinea. There's many, many temptations, many difficulties, but pray for us to be faithful, to stay true. The Lord is faithful. Faithful is he that calls you who will also do it. Pray for laborers, but pray for those that are serving the Lord there to be faithful, to stand strong. As I finish here, just last passage, and I'm done, turn with me to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. It talks about the whole armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6. I'll just read down through it, but then I want to make one application on verse 18. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." As he goes through the whole armor of God there, lastly in verse 17, the sword of the Spirit, which is an offensive weapon, but it's actually the sword of the Spirit. It's God working using his word. But he says, the last thing, sometimes we skip over at verse 18, he says, praying what? Always. But the last part of verse 18 says, for all the saints. Pray for our other believers around the world. Pray for the laborers to be faithful. To be faithful in that ministry for which God has called them to do. So thank you.